good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here, our final hour. And we've got Kim Kardashian here. We're going to talk a little bit about her. And, Margaret, I know you have some things to say about Kim Kardashian, and I know that a lot of them are not flattering.
No, I'm not going to say anything unflattering. I'm going to say something that needs to be said. Kim Kardashian, as she flashes the rock. Now, this is the latest on Kim Kardashian. She has a new engagement ring that she got from Kanye West. She is showing it to everyone that she possibly can. She's throwing it up into the lenses of cameras everywhere. She's flashing it on her, you know, left hand, and I think it's the left hand. I would pay money. I honest to God, I'd pay money to see her put it on her right hand, like a real dumbass. But I don't know if that's gonna.
Get it on left hand.
I know she has it on her left hand. Excuse me for a moment, Phil. I'm sorry, but I'm going to. I'm sorry, Phil.
God almighty. You know, you got no cause.
No, Phil, don't make a big issue out of it.
You got no cause to talk to anybody about anything when you're on my show just without any constraint belching like that.
Well, Phil, I'm so sorry to offend your delicate and genteel girl school sensibilities.
Daddy! Girl school.
Sorry.
In any event, Kim Kardashian, with this stone on her hand, and by the way, Kim, who's the man? Chris Humphries, the man that she was engaged to. Chris Humphries' father weighed in on this.
He did?
Yes. And the quote is, she's stepping right into it all over again, meaning it's almost as if it's a role that she has written for herself. And she is playing the part to a T. But to be standing there flashing that rock, it's very unbecoming. It's as if she's not used to money. It's as if she, you know, when you look at Kim Kardashian, you want to think that she comes from a place where there's a lot of cardboard. There are a lot of cardboard walls.
I mean, you want to think that.
You will. Kardashian, you're thinking of a street that is mostly mud, and the drinking water's from a hose, and the walls are cardboard. I'm thinking of the man with the beard.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what she means? Because I don't know what she means.
No, I think I do too, yeah.
You know the man with the beard?
What man with the beard?
There's a man with a beard who's on late-night television, and he's got a kid that hasn't eaten.
And that looks like Kim Kardashian, the guy with the beard?
No, for...
No, it looks like that's where she ought to be from.
And she's not, and I think that that... I think it is, it's unfair to the rest of us that she doesn't come from the place where the guy with the beard is, that's all.
So, because she's dark-skinned...
I didn't say dark-skinned.
Yeah, you did. That's exactly what you're saying. Because she's dark-skinned...
Phil, I had asked, and no one wants to answer, how Kim Kardashian is able to pass for white. And...
Well, were you telling me that she's black?
Take a good long look.
Yeah, you take a look at her, Miss Henry.
Are you think she's African-American?
I don't say that.
No, nobody says she's African-American. She ain't white, though.
She looks... If you want to ask me what she looks like in terms of a more common ethnicity here in the United States, she looks Hispanic. Or maybe, I don't know, Greek or something, you know. But she's an Armenian. I mean, there's what the hell is with you? There's plenty of Armenians in America.
I know there are. But I think of them in terms of George Dukmejian, who was much more homogenized. By homogenized, you know where we get the term homogenized? There used to be something called homogenized milk. And homogenized milk was a nice, pure, crisp, clean, white.
Well, that's not what homogenized means. Homogenized means mixed together.
Well, I say it means white.
Well, isn't that nice? I say it means mixed together.
Well, that I say...
Never mind what you say.
I'm telling you, Phil, that what Kim Kardashian represents to a lot of us is a woman. She would be far more attractive were she from the place where the guy with the...
The guy with a beard.
Get off it with the guy with the beard, will you? That guy with the beard... What? Who is that guy, Robert?
It's an actor. The guy's an actor. He got known for doing that. I don't know what else he do, but he.
I think he's done some. I think he's done some films.
Like what?
Didn't he do Moby Dick? Well, what's so funny?
Moby Dick. I don't know which version of Moby Dick that he... That guy with the beard on the little... with the starving kids? I don't know who that cat is. He's an actor, yes, I understand that, but I don't know what else he's done besides The Starving Kid. He's very good, you know.
He's very good. And when he does the, you know, do you know her, little Kimba Kukulu, whatever the name is, she has to eat mud pies and she drinks out of a faucet, and that's where I imagine the Kardashians are from. And then when I find out they're from Beverly Hills, you know, to quote Doc Holliday in Tombstone, now I really hate her.
Okay, Margaret.
Well,
this Tombstone quoting is going to have to end.
I didn't do it.
Never mind. It's got to end. From I'll send you to hell on a shutter to I hope you die to now I really hate her. I've had about enough of it, okay? And as far as Kim Kardashian flashing her rock all over the place, what do you expect? What does a woman do? Every woman you know does that, okay?
Yeah, a lot of women do. When my mom got remarried, she's all, hey, look, see. And I'm like, so? She goes, your dad never got that for me. I don't care. And she goes, see?
Yeah, and then did she say see?
Yes, she did, see? She's all, see?
Okay, so what?
Well, doing it with me. She did do it with her friends, everything.
Well, women like the big stone, man, you know.
Well, what did you get? When you got married, you bought your wife an engagement ring, did you not?
Yes.
And how many carats?
I'm not going to say.
Oh, cheap, huh?
No, not cheap. No, not at all.
Well, then why won't you say?
Because I'm not going to say. Because I'm not going to do exactly what you don't want people to do, parade it in front of people.
Well, it's not like you bought it for yourself, Phil.
I don't give a damn. You know, I don't mind Kim Kardashian doing it. Any woman that gets a big freaking stone on her finger is going to go show the world. They all do it. They never. There's not a woman I know, a woman I've ever heard of, a woman that ever got an engagement ring that I know of that doesn't go around showing everybody. That's what it is. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be. What are you going to do about it?
Well, So in other words, Kim Kardashian with the big rear end bumping her way through a crowd, using that big ass to push anybody out of the way that she doesn't like, and says, look at my ring. I just think it's absolutely low class.
You know, any chance you get, you're going to work her big rear end into it, aren't you?
If I don't, she will.
Yay, all right.
Give me five.
Yay.
Get out of here, give me five.
Well.
What do you mean she's bumping her ass and...
But Kim, you can almost imagine Kim Kardashian in a crowd of people, and she's swinging that big ass around. I don't know. I swear to God, it is a wonder that people aren't hurt and seriously injured every time that big rear end hits someone.
You'd probably have thrown somebody on a column or something.
Fractured skull.
I'm amazed more skulls aren't fractured.
Oh, come on. Would you grow up, please?
I am not kidding, Phil. That big ass going through a crowd, and now, hey, look at my ring. Look.
Well, I don't think you have made an impression here this evening other than a lot of people thinking you're jealous.
Of what? You gotta be putting... Of what?
Of her ring? Of her money? Of her youth?
Of her money? Phil, I'm married to Frank Gray, okay? Frank's got more money than Kim Kardashian would want to have. If Kim had Frank's money, she'd be frightened to death. She would... You talk about... That big ass be nothing but diarrhea.
All right, that's enough of that, okay?
God!
I'm not kidding.
That's enough of that. It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Henry Show with some of the stories that we said we'd get to and we haven't because of a lot of other falderall, including this discussion of Kardashian. We have this over-the-counter STD test that you can buy and some other interesting things. This 12-year-old kid with the gun... Man, what this planet that we live on...
You're not going to talk about that, are you?
No, I'm not. I don't want to talk in depth about it, but I thought I'd mention it because... Well, never mind.
You don't talk about that, man. That's more gun talk. Like, we don't need no more gun talk, you know?
You're right. You're absolutely right. There's no point in talking gun talk. I ain't going to talk no more gun talk, and that's... Okay, so anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Visit us online. Get a backstage pass. Be a part of our BSP family. You know, we do a half-hour pre-show before the broadcast, and sometimes we have post-broadcast events on Phil TV in HD. So you get a lot more than just the radio show when you have a backstage pass and the video cast. There's a whole lot of dysfunction and four-letter words and, well, you know. The Phil Henry Show will be right back. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we have with us Rudy Canosa, a rare treat. Rudy is a lot of times just not available to us here late at night. His store, he wraps up business there in Je T'aime Lingerie early. We first encountered Rudy when he was going back and forth between Buenos Aires as a import-export guy. He finally settled in the Los Angeles area, has a business here, but goes back occasionally to Argentina and sometimes can give us a pretty good perspective on business, as well as the social norms of each country. And how is business these days, Rudy?
Well, business is very good, Phil. And but we're not in a business that we're not in a business that is more reliant upon, you know, this the economy, you know, like some of the other businesses are.
Yeah, well, when you say it's not relying on the economy, it's not a traditional, it's not a business that's going to be, you sell lingerie, right?
Yes, we sell women's lingerie. To conclude your thought, it's not a business reliant upon necessarily the ebb and flow of the economy, because it is more of a consistent type of purchase that a woman is going to make.
I wanted to ask you about, you had given me a call talking about, you were the guy that alerted me to this cheap over-the-counter STD test.
Yes, I didn't think necessarily to speak with you on the radio about this, but I'm picking up the article if I could, Bill. To me, the thing was interesting about this, if you're out at night, you're a young person out at night, and you meet someone that you wanted to become physically intimate with, there's a disposable multifunction STD test. It's a six-pack that you can literally pick up at the pharmacy, and you can test to see if you have any disease. If you are disease-free, then you can go and be, you know, sexual with each other. And I think that what I found, I am single, and I've been single for, you know, a long time since my divorce, which I was only married for 2 years.
Do you mind me asking how old you are?
Yes, I'm 45.
45, and so you're married 2 years in your 20s?
That is correct. I have been single since then.
And do you like single life?
Oh, I much prefer to be single, because I have found that I love too much. I love not for the one, but I love for the many, and I mean that in the strictest sense of the word. I'm not trying to be funny or anything, you know.
So what do you mean? So you like to have sex with a lot of different women?
No. I don't mean that. I mean that. Of course, the sex is going to follow if you have the love, and the love is the most important thing. The sex is going to follow. You must have the sex if you have the love. But for me, love is the most important, and I love too much. I love more than is good for me. I love to the point where it is debilitating to me and can harm me. But I do love, and love I must. For me, love is I must love, and there's no. I heard Margaret earlier, she said no alternative. For me, love is that airport in Beirut. There's no alternative. I must love.
Rudy Canosa is our guest here on the Phil Henry Show, and we're talking about business, the business climate. His business is great. He has a lingerie shop. He also sent me this article on over-the-counter STDs. Why did you send that?
Well, first of all, I thought it was a revolutionary product that one can test for STD before you go on a date. If you go on a date, if you see a woman that you wish to go out on a date with, maybe you will to be intimate with her, maybe you will be not intimate with her, but you can get her to take this test, and you can get that cleared up before the date starts. You know, just ask her to take this test. You can see the result of the test, whether or not she's been infected, and if she's disease-free. So I think it was something that is going to make a lot of men feel better.
Rudy, what about the women?
What about the women?
What about, so the women give the men the test?
Well, this is a test that you buy at the pharmacy.
No, I understand that. And you said that you buy this at the pharmacy, and then you give the ladies, you're a man and you buy this STD test. What about the women? How are they assured that the man is disease-free?
Oh, well, the women can be assured that the man is disease-free. If he's going to ask you to take the test, think of this. If a man is saying to you, I want to see if you're disease-free, you see, this is not a man who has the disease. This is not a man who has what we call la raza, you know, la rolo, the lolo, you know, the harmful, the rash. He does not have, you see.
Well, why not? I mean, what's to assure her that he doesn't?
Well, the man would not ask you to take a test, you see. He's not going to say, I have a disease, but I want to make sure you do not have a disease. That's ridiculous. What sense does this make? You know?
Rudy, that you're not making any sense. A man, you say the man asks the woman to take the STD test, but he doesn't, and you say that, what do you call the la raza?
No, the la lolo. The la lolo is the sore or the open. It's if you have the la pala or the impala, which is the name that after the car, you know. I don't know why, but they did. That is, if the man, you know, the man must not have the Impala. And so...
What is the Impala is what?
That's a car.
Not the, is that a car?
No, it's not a car. Yes, it's a car. It's also it's an animal. But in this sense, it is the animal of... it's the animal of VD. And if a man's... You know, if it's infected with the Impala... If it's infected with the, you know, if you wish, you could the cheetah.
What are you talking about? Okay, so...
I don't want to get bogged down in the description. What I'm trying to say to you is that women, this is a great product. So the man, if you pick a girl up for a date...
No, Rudy, I understand what you're saying. A man picks a woman up for a date, then he drives over to the CVS or wherever and picks up the STD test.
That is correct, yes.
Do you realize, and Rudy, you claim to be a man who knows what women like. Do you understand how utterly insulting and low class that is?
I don't see.
I agree with Margaret. You pick a woman up for a date, and the first place you go is the pharmacy.
Yes.
And what are you saying to her?
Well, it doesn't have to be low class.
There is nothing you can say to a woman that's going to rescue that situation.
No, hold on for a minute now. There's not. You doesn't have to be. You drive to the pharmacy and you say to her, and they, again, Margaret, and again, Phil, I respect both of you and I love you, but you have to understand that I have been speaking to women in the language of love for so long. You pull into the pharmacy parking lot. You stop the engine. You look at her with the love in your eye that you feel for her because you want her to be healthy, and you say to her, la 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 la, la la. And so...
And what does that do?
What that does is, you say there, I'm going into the pharmacy now. And you go in, and...
Oh, come on, Rudy. I mean, I understand when you're in the throes of passion.
No, it's not come on, Rudy, nothing. No.
Well, so I just met this girl...
Oh, hopefully you didn't just meet. Why are you going out on a date with her?
What I'm saying is, I asked her out for a date, I pick her up, I take her to the CVS pharmacy, my intent is to go in and get an STD test kit... Before anything, before we hit the restaurant for drinks, for dinner, the theater, whatever, I'm going in, and the last thing I say to her as I get out of the car is la la la.
No, not la la. God.
Well, I understand there's a technique.
Yes, there's a technique. By God in heaven, there is a technique. And if you do not do the technique, if you do not know the technique, you're no one. You're no one to me. You're dead to me. You're dead to the woman. Unless you know the technique of the la la la. You're nothing. You're a dead thing. You're the carcass of roadkill, and I would just as soon run you down and see your gut spread from here to there, rather than to stop to scoop you up in a shovel and shovel you off the side of the road like a decent man would do. I would never do this, to see you go la la la, la like you're some kind of a retard. I'm talking about...
No, let's not use that word. All right, so there's a technique.
Yes, you look at her. The technique. Of course there's a technique. I would never look at a woman and go, like I'm some kind of a drooling imbecile that would scare her as she's walking down the street, and an imbecile, one of these imbeciles that live in the alleys of the world, that comes out and goes, yeah, scare this poor woman. I would never do that to a woman. I love women too much than to be the imbecile, You know.
All right, all right. Look, I got to take a break here. Hold on. Rudy Canoza is with us. We're talking about these STD kits that you can purchase. And that you can test yourself, but only in Rudy's world. He's not testing himself. No, no. He doesn't need that. He's testing, he's picking this up for his date. So the chick that he's going out with for the night, that's who he is getting the test kit for. And we've got a little bit of a social we've got a little bit of a protocol problem here, you know. We'll be right back with Rudy Canoza and more on the over-the-counter STD kit on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Stick around for more.
All right, welcome back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Rudy Canoza here from Jetem Lingerie. He's talking to us tonight about this over-the-counter STD test. You know, Rudy, I didn't want to get you hung up on this stuff. I'm not trying to impugn your values or you know, the obvious respect that you do have for women. It just seems it's an unusual... It's an unusual dating take, because you're not just talking about an STD kit. You're talking about your method in bringing this into a brand new relationship, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking to STD kits and people that are going out on a date for the first time. That's pretty personal stuff.
Philly, I don't deny that it's personal stuff, as you say, but that's why I say that for me, for Rudy Canoza, and only I speak for myself. I can't speak for you. I can't speak for the men that listen to you. I would say for me, I would be as respectful as I can as I pull into... You say I pull into the CVS parking lot, or you pull into a Rite Aid, whichever's open latest, because I tend not to begin my dates until late. This is how I am. This is how Rudy is. I go to parties where the lights are low. I go to parties that start at 10, because I do party with an awful lot of black people, and that's when they begin their parties.
Hold on for a minute. What are you saying?
What is that?
What is what?
What do you party with a lot of black folks?
Yeah, I do. I party with a lot of black people, and they tend to start their parties late, around 9-10, and generally the lights are down. So it would have to be a pharmacy that is open late. And I don't know if that's CVS or Rite Aid. Which one's open late?
I don't know.
Okay. Why did you bring it up?
I didn't bring it up. You're talking about...
You asked me what my technique is. You see, because this is the over-the-counter STD test.
Rudy, what we're trying to find out is, how do you respectfully bring an STD test into a new relationship? You say you pull into a parking lot of a CVS or Rite Aid, whichever is open latest.
Yes, that is correct.
And then you look at her and you say, la ha la, whatever you say.
I didn't say I say la ha ha. You have to understand now. No, hold on.
I'm sorry, hold on for a minute. I'm sorry, Rudy.
See, this is what I mean. You bring up to Rudy the, you know, the way that I behave.
I'm sorry. I should have warned you.
You know, she does that a lot, Rudy.
No, but I know she does that a lot because I listen to your show. And she acts like an ape on a vine as she comes on this program and goes burp. And sounds like you sound like an animal, you know? And how can you say to me that I have no right to go for the STD and to try to get as much as I can in the first half hour, you know?
What does that mean?
I'm saying if I find out that she is negative and... You see... Jesus.
Rito, you know, the more you talk, the worse it gets.
Excuse me, ma'am, but you're the one that let rip a belch that... basically brought this entire program to a halt a few moments ago. So I think I can be forgiven my enthusiasm to know that there is an STD test.
All right, let's back up, because I'm not, you know, we're talking about STD test. We're not getting anywhere here, all right? So you pull in, let's forget about your, you know, how you behave. I don't know, Rudy.
I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with my behavior. I pull in. And let's say she says, why are we here at the CVS? Why are we at the Rite Aid? And I look at her and I say, my dear, la, 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 la. And that's my way. It is a Latin way of saying, I value you and I'll be right back. And
so you say, my dear, and then what?
You say, my dear.
Well, that would frighten me.
Oh, Margaret, you know what? You've been married too long.
I beg your pardon?
You heard me. I said you've been married too long. Most of the single women that I go out with, excuse me for saying, I date a hell of a lot of women. And almost to a woman, when I say to them, excuse me, my dear, la 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 la, they understand, they know the language of the love. You have to understand the language of the love. Now,
well, that's not the language of the love. You're going in to get an STD kit. Now, all right, so you have...
No, it is the language of the love. I'm saying to her, my darling, you're going to appreciate what's about to... excuse me. You're going to appreciate what's about to happen.
And you're going to appreciate what's about to happen, and that's going to be an STD test you're going to give her.
Yes, Phil, but you see, I'm not saying that I'm going to go give you an STD test. I'm not saying it like a slap, you know. I love you, Phil. You're a wonderful man, but the way that you communicate sometimes is almost like the slob. You know what I mean?
Well, Phil may be a slob, but he's not asking women, he's not testing them for STDs.
All right, if he wants to die in a hospice, that's his business.
No, I most certainly do not, and I don't even appreciate you bringing that up that way. I'm simply asking about the social decorum. However, that having been said, so you go inside, you get the STD kit, you come outside, and then what do you do?
I go in, I get the STD test kit, I come outside, I sit in the seat, I take her by the hand, I hold her hand, and I say, my darling, this is to ensure that you have no disease, because what I see and what I feel for you and I is so precious and feels so special in my heart and in my soul that I do not wish you to have a disease. If you have a disease and I have to report you not to the health department, would be something I would try to couch you, because you have to go to the health department and let them know that it could excuse me, and let them know it could be an epidemic.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else?
Well, all right, so let's see. This is Rudy's date.
Yeah, what a jackass, man, you know?
Here is Rudy's date.
Whoa. Hold on, sunshine. Who just said jackass? I'm telling you something. Rudy is a good man, and Rudy is a peace-loving man, but I don't like it when a man says you're a jackass. And let me tell you something, Dickman. You look at a woman, and you say to her, my dear, this is to ensure that I do not have to make a stop at the health department. Alla halla.
You know what, man? I got money that says that doesn't work with one chick you go out with.
Oh, baby, you're on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet I am. So you say, so you're telling me...
What I'm telling you is the STD kit is the greatest thing to happen to single men. Perhaps since the condom, and maybe since the Las Vegas divorce, for all that I know, and for all that I would wish for.
Rudy Knoz is with us. I'm sorry, I thought I'd do that, Phil, because you haven't done that.
I'll take care of the... What are you doing?
I thought... It sounded like the program was getting out of hand. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, but don't be butting in.
Uh-oh, looks like, Phil, you're getting territorial there, Phil. You know,
I don't like anybody taking over my duties. Go ahead.
Well, never mind then. What a jack.
Guess he's crying, Phil.
Didn't mean to make you cry, Margaret. Sorry. All right, I'm sorry.
All she's trying to do is help you, Phil.
I understand.
You see, this is what I'm saying. You know, Rudy, I know. Margaret, please ask me the question. There's no question you can ask me that I would not be willing to answer for you.
Well, I wanted to know, so you say to her, and what if the test comes back positive for a variety of herpes, gonorrhea, everything?
That is when you have to say to her that I have to stop at the health department. Most likely I'm going to have to leave you there because I want to test you. And you try to soften the blow, you try to soften the words so that they come across with the love and the concern that I know that you wish them to mean. You do not want to say to her that I'm going to drop you off like an animal in a cage to get a rabies shot. You don't want to say to her, I need to drop you off at the pound, you know, because a friend of mine was in a panic. He said to me, what if you have to go to the pound? I said, are you an ass? Are you an ass? Why would you go to the pound? He said, if she has these diseases. I said, no, you go to the health department and you say, I must drop you off now, my darling. I wish you the very best. There'll be a man to meet you here. I'm sorry, I just noticed something on my pants.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What did you notice on your pants?
Wouldn't you like to know? And so you say to her, my dear, I'm going to be dropping you off at the health department. I love you. I hope all goes well. You give her a big thumbs up. You go, boo-loo-loo, and, man, you get out of there.
All right, Rudy Canosa has been with us.
I'm sorry, but...
Yeah. Okay. Well, good for the STD test market, I guess, there. Will you be selling those at Jatem Lingerie?
No, Phil. I'm not going to be... What an ass. Something because you disagree with me.
No, you're making a big joke out of it.
No, I'm because you disagree with me. You ask me, is Rudy going to sell STD tests at Jatem? Like I'm going to be a pig in a slab. You know?
Well, the things you're talking about, Rudy, makes you sound like a pig.
I have not been pig-like at all.
You say you're going to drop her off at the health department if she comes back positive, and you speed off into the night.
Are you kidding? What am I supposed to do? Keep it in my car? I can't have that in my car. She's... I don't know.
Thanks a lot, Rudy.
Well, you know, you're a...
Rudy Canosa, ladies and gentlemen.
That is an example of that man's hubris. Hubris.
What's that?
Egotism.
Yes. And the fact that he thinks his la-la-la is going to save the day.
Well, I mean, he was okay up until the point of we pull into the pharmacy parking lot. That's when... See, I just don't believe, and I could be wrong, but I do not believe... that because they have these STD over-the-counter test kits, folks, that when you go out with someone, before you go to the movie or dinner or whatever, you pull into the parking lot of the Rite Aid or the CVS or whatever and go inside and get the kit and come out and test him or her right there in the car. You know?
But you know, when would you do that? I mean, it's a good question.
Before you had sex.
Why, are you nuts or something, man? That'd ruin the mood and everything.
Yeah, man, that wouldn't be too romantic.
I don't give a damn. Too romantic? Look, man, you know, you do it in the car in front of the parking lot of a pharmacy? I don't know. You're going to have to work that one out. But to me, it sounded like Rudy's sitting there, and he's saying to her, la, 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 and then he goes in to get himself an STD test kit. Okay, coming back with our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Rudy. We'll take that under advisement. That was a whole lot of weird. After the show, check out our website. We'll have our show log. And we will also, tomorrow morning, have a new podcast from Bobby Dooley. We'll have, for our subscribers, our classic podcast, as always. And for our subscribers, the full show podcast at philhenryshow.com. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And what a night it's been. It was great to talk to Rudy Canosa, although he's still, you know, incoherent. I don't know.
That man, there is nothing romantic about that man at all. Not at all.
That's coming from you.
What does that mean? You better watch your mouth, because I'm really on the lookout for somebody I can mess up, you know?
All right, take it easy, okay? But what is it? What does that mean?
Well...
Does that mean I'm easy or something? In other words, I don't like Rudy, and I should, because I just about like any man? Is that what you're trying to say? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Watch your mouth. I'm watching you.
God.
No, not God, Phil.
Yeah, everybody's on edge around here. Take it easy. God almighty. But Canosa, he's a whole new level of weird ass. All right, so... That's that, and just a very quick reminder, as we said going into the break, and I will say coming out of the break, that we do have a series of show logs there on our website, so if you miss something, you want to know in general terms what a show is about, you can check out our show logs, and each and every single solitary ever-loving day, a podcast of the show, so you can on-demand check out what we are doing on our website there at philhenryshow.com, as well as our video cast. Now, I think I told you guys that I am recommencing my diet, because from the time that I lost the 80 pounds, I lost 80 pounds from roughly 80 pounds from 289 down to 210, so that's about 79 pounds.
That is 89 pounds.
No, it's not, man. It's 289 down to 210.
Is that 89?
No, not if you know how to do basic subtraction. No, it ain't 89.
What do you get all upset about?
Because you're freaking dumb, man. You're dumb. You're just dumb. And dumb, man, I don't like dumb. Not when a guy, if you didn't pay attention in class when they were doing subtraction and addition, I don't know what to say about you, man.
Oh.
Yes, 89 minus 10. What a...
Anyway, so it was about 80, 79, 80 pounds. And I got down in 7 months, I got down to 210. And then from last Halloween to today, I gained back 25 pounds. Now, that was done for a variety of reasons, but mostly it was me eating as I wanted to, but also exercising, and sort of testing that method. And, you know, I watched the weight kind of climb up there, but I was giving myself a little bit of a break. But there no way was I going to get all the way back up to 280. So as of this week, I commenced the diet. And I'm really cutting the calories off, man. No more of this 2,000 calories a day.
Well, how many?
Today, and this is not going to be the norm, but today I only had like 850 calories, I should say.
Well, that is not healthy, Phil.
I didn't say that's going to be every day.
850 calories? You're going to be skin and bones.
No, I'm not going to do that every day. I'm going to do about 1,200 a day.
Why 1,200 a day? So... what are you hoping to achieve other than to look like hell on earth?
What do you mean hell on earth?
Well, Phil, there's going to be a lot of loose skin and...
Wait. I already was down to 210, okay?
Well, you're talking about 200.
When I hit 210, then I'm pushing on through to 200. Yes. Yes. I'm pushing on through to 200. And why is that so weird?
Well, I'm at 200, man. That's really skinny.
Hold on for just a second here before you go off half-cocked, if I may say so. Excuse a mundo, baby. You know, when I was in my 20s, I was never more than 190 pounds. I was 185, 180 pounds. Tops. Tops.
Well, what did you look like then?
I was skinny. I was always skinny. I was a skinny kid. And, man, I said during the pre-show, I used to work in construction work way back, you know, in my late teens, just before I got into radio. I was doing construction, cement finishing, labor, all that stuff. And they used to laugh at me when I took my shirt off because it was so hot in Florida, you worked without your shirt on. They used to call me Ribs, you know. Hey, count the ribs on Henry. Look at this guy. You know, I mean, I was skin and bones. And then, you know, during the course of that summer and that year, I started to bulk out because you're lifting wheelbarrows full of concrete and stuff like that. But fact is, I was a skinny guy.
Now, what was this 145 you said you were at? That, you must have been something out of a nightmare. You must have been a walking skeleton.
That was when I got back from Miami the first time. I came back to California in 78, and I had dropped to 145 pounds. Man, I was a skinny dude. I mean, you know, because your metabolism is still cranking pretty heavy. That was unhealthy. That was not healthy.
What's healthy for you?
What?
What's healthy for you?
I'd say about 190 pounds is fine, 195. But you know what? So people don't freak out, I'll go to 200 and they'll just park it there.
You're parking at 200. That'd probably be pretty good to park it there. If you park it at 200, I guarantee you'll find some people... they'll want to park it on you.
Would you?
Get up. Watch it.
Oh, that is vulgar.
What'd I do?
Well, you watch what you're saying. There's a lady present, okay?
Oh, give me a break. Just talking about normal relationships and everything.
Yeah, man, you can't sit a lady around.
What?
About parking it.
You know what you said. If you park it there, there'll be people going to park it on you. So anyway, 200 ought to be good, and then we're good to go, man. And I'm going to, you know, that's the way it's going to be from here on out.
Well, you said that when you went to 210, and now you beefed it out to 235.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I said that I would always keep it within a 5-pound range, and man, it crept up on me. That's for sure. I think what I'm going to have to do is I don't know what I'm going to have to do. Maybe I'm going to have to do this for the rest of my life. Put on 25 pounds, take it off. Put on 25 pounds, take it off.
Well, that can't possibly be healthy. You know, Frank's mother, God rest her soul, was a wonderful woman. I loved my mother-in-law. I loved my mother-in-law intensely. She was a woman of great laughter. She was a woman of great kindness. She was morbidly obese. And you know what I mean by morbidly obese, Bud?
She's like depressed. She's always not fun to be around?
No.
No, that's not morbid. Morbidly obese is to the point of it affects your walking. I mean, you're really, you're just...
Your waist, you're so obese that it affects, yeah, how many seats you sit in. You're shuffling along. You're a fat tub of guts. And I loved Karen very much. Karen was Frank's mother. But she was a big shuffling tub of guts. And I say that with great love. God bless her. She died of a heart attack. And she was in her car, and she was in the parking lot of a Baker's Square. And you know how people are. It was, oh, ha, ha, ha. And I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Wait a minute. She died of a heart attack.
She was wheeling into a parking, into the Baker's Square parking lot. And later on, they found there were four or five pies on hold for her. She had the heart attack, and the car just went right into a wall, collapsed the wall, and just missed a swing set on the other side.
Good God.
Yeah.
And so everybody was okay?
Everyone was okay except for her. Yes, everyone was okay except for her. And she was in a Baker's Square, Phil, looking to get pies, and you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. All right, so, and...
And she had a heart attack, and the pies were still piled up at the counter. Frank had to go in and claim them, and what else could he do? He ate them.
We'll see you guys tomorrow night.
Well, I don't know what I did wrong.
Yeah.